Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From downtown San Francisco, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Joe, Low, and Dibs.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Joe, Low, and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Joe, Low, and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Hurry! Great to have you in on this Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a 2017 premier Porsche dealer, and Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Joe and Dibs today, Low is off. He's back in the saddle tomorrow. No need to panic. But for right now, very happy to welcome in the voice of your Golden State Warriors. You can follow him on Twitter at WarriorsVox. Tim Roy, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Tim? How are you?
I am great. It's great to be here. Looking forward to the game tonight. This is a much better Bulls team than we saw, you know, early in the season. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with Chicago.
We'll jump into that in just a minute, but how much do you like the road trip when you get to Chicago? It's always been one of my favorite cities in the country. So many great places to eat. I think the people are fantastic there. Do you enjoy visiting Chicago as much?
Absolutely. You know, when I saw this trip, the only downside of the trip for me was we didn't spend a lot of time in Toronto. I love Toronto as well. It's one of the world's underrated cities. But to get here, and we had a day off yesterday, and we'll have a day here tomorrow as well, because the Warriors don't play in Houston till Saturday, and there's no sense in flying all the way home and flying all the way out to Houston. So, yeah, we'll have some time here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to hit a museum tomorrow here, and went out and got a great meal last night. And it's just it's a vibrant town. When the wind blows, it can get really cold here in the winter, but it's a really cool place.
It's an interesting thing, Tim, when you have the 2 days off between games and you've got two cities from which to choose. Is it a case where they pass it around to the team for a vote? Hey, do you guys want to stay in Chicago an extra day or get down to Houston? Or in this case, is it just a no-brainer?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a no-brainer here, and also the fact that it's kind of the head coach's call. You know, you can't really leave it up to the players at all times. I'm just guessing here. Usually the head coach makes that kind of a call as to when you go and, you know, what the schedule's going to be. And they have to set this up way ahead of time. I mean, this is set up in the summertime. So I think in this case, it's Chicago. It's a great city, and I think everybody kind of, you know, buys into that.
No Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala tonight. The report is that Jordan Bell will get an opportunity to start. Tim, is this a revenge game for Jordan Bell, seeing as how the Bulls had his services and then sold him away so abruptly to the Golden State Warriors?
Well, if you remember, he started the game in Oakland as well, so I think he's already had that. You know, I mean, I think tonight, sure, he's going to want to play well here, but, you know, he had that game against the Bulls, you know, where he made that start and had a tremendous, you know, opening game, and he, you know, he kind of let people know. I mean, what do you have? He had like 7 points, 6 boards, and 6 blocks, and he let people know that.
People know that.
Tim, this is the ultimate tease, the cliffhanger.
I love it. This is fill in the blank radio. He let people know that A, Jordan Bell is here to stay. B, he's not to be trifled with. C, he can play with an edge just like anybody else. Or D, all of the above, Tim. Tim, would you care to complete that now that I've vamped and stalled? Tim?
Curry!
Is that all you have for us, Tim?
Curry! That's nicely done.
Thank you.
That's really nicely done.
Lead yourself to your own answer. It was a disconnection sensation from Tim Roy.
I have a decent amount of friends in Chicago because I used to work with a guy when I broke into the business who lives in Chicago, so I met his friends and his cousin, and Bulls fans are pissed that Jordan Bell's playing the way that he's playing, especially early in the season when they were like 3-20. We have Tim Roy back. Tim, jump right back into what you were saying.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, Jordan had that game, the starting game, and had a real big night that night. So I'm not sure if they'll look at it as a revenge game, but, you know, players have have memories and they have feelings. And so I think it will be a big game for Jordan Bell.
That Toronto game, Tim, particularly the first half, is that as well as you've seen the Warriors play in the Kevin Durant era, that first half against Toronto? Yeah, you know, Dibs, they played really well in the first half there. And anytime you get over 80 points in a half, Dibs, you know things are humming. I don't think they had more than one turnover in that first half, a David West giveaway. But, yeah, Dibs, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about all the halves and tried to compare them like that.
I am partially responsible for this current Chicago run. They were 3-20. I was in Vegas. It was December 9th, I believe. And the Big Puma and I were at the Flamingo. And we needed a game to bet before we went out to dinner. We were going down to Steve's. We were going to have dinner at SW. And we were like, we need something to bet on. And we looked up at the board and we were like, let's fade the Bulls. The Bulls stink this year. So we bet on Charlotte. The Bulls not only covered, but they beat Charlotte. And after that point, they go on to win like 12 of 19, which doesn't seem like a lot. But for a team that was only supposed to win maybe 18 games this year, that's a huge success, a hugely successful run. It's a bigly successful run.
Yes, when Mirotić came back, they became a completely different team. And the fact that he forgave Bobby Portis for breaking his face, it did a lot for team chemistry. Seriously, Joe, to have that not be a big problem throughout the course of the year, for them to be able to move on, Mirotić is the real deal. He's a great player.
Well, they're cooking a little bit more than people would have thought, so there's not as much disgruntlement, so to speak, over the Jordan Bell selling. But early in the season, when he was balling for the Warriors, and he's still balling, Chicago fans were looking at that just thinking, what a bunch of idiots. Like, why did we sell that guy off just so he could go to Golden State and start putting up numbers?
Why would any team sell their pick to Golden State? After you saw what happened with Patrick McCaw out of UNLV, which I think was just shy of $2 million the Warriors paid to get that pick, and he goes on to be an immediate rotation player, as any of the other 29 teams in the league, why would you even take that call?
Yeah, I'm not answering the call if Bob's on the other line. Hey, Mr. Fortenball, we have Bob Myers on the phone. Tell him to beat it. Tell him I'm not in. There's nothing I can win. He's not calling to offer me Steph.
Right.
He's not calling. Steph plus cash considerations and maybe a couple future picks. Oh, thanks, Bob. Appreciate the offer.
Yeah, that's not the way that call goes. And if they're asking for your pick to take a player, you should probably take that player because the Warriors are ahead of the curve.
Breaking news out of the National Football League. Everybody, including my 11-month-old, saw this one coming. Todd Haley will not return as the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Todd Haley out in Pittsburgh. This is how it starts. The head coach should be held responsible. He's not. They give him a pass, so he has to fire his staff. Pete Carroll is getting that in Seattle as we speak. Pete Carroll has cleaned out his staff. Let me ask you something. Ken Norton is the new defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. We never even jumped into this. Ken Norton, who was fired by the Raiders, then he ends up as the linebacker coach for the 49ers for about 5 minutes. Then Pete hires him to be his defensive coordinator in Seattle. How do the Seahawks figure that's going to make them better? And this isn't to take a shot at Ken. It's just what has he done that's given them confidence he can come in and get that defense back to where it needs to be?
I guess when he was there last, the defense was where they want it to be now. And so you think maybe we bring Ken Norton Jr. back to Seattle where he had some success on the defensive side of the coaching staff. You figure maybe he can recreate that and you can get some of your defensive mojo back. But unless he brings with him a time machine and the ability to make Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas 5 years younger again, ultimately the problems Seattle has have to be solved by the GM and not a coaching change, in my opinion.
The Haley situation, it's fascinating because his head's going to roll naturally. That play call on 4th-and-1 was an abomination, but it's on Mike Tomlin. It's on Mike Tomlin. And I like the guy because he's a great motivator. And by all accounts, everyone speaks very positively of him. But how many times can you come out that flat with an extra week to prepare? How many times can you come up short when so much is expected of you? That team has the best receiver in the game, the best running back in the game, and a Hall of Fame quarterback. They won as many playoff games this year as the Cleveland Browns. That's a fact. You have the best receiver in the game, the best running back in the game, and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you have zero playoff wins to show for it. And you didn't have to face the Patriots. You didn't have to face the Vikings. You faced the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you got them at home. And you were a 7-point favorite, and you got rolled. If that was a one-time thing, I get it. But last year, Tomlin went to New England and got severely outcoached by Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And that's not the first time that's happened. Tomlin's record against Belichick is appalling. He's won double-digit games in each of the last 4 years, and the Steelers aren't an organization that panics. Only three head coaches since, like, 69.
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Tomlin. But I'll tell you what, you can stick with it as long as you want. The guy, he didn't have his team ready.
He's limited. The word is limited. And the fact that Jacksonville came in and beat you earlier in the year makes it so you can't give the excuse of, oh, boy, they caught us by surprise. No, they caught you by surprise earlier in the year when they came into Pittsburgh and smacked you in the mouth.
Tim Roy back with us here on 95.7. Tim, this is quite an elaborate game you're playing with us this morning. I hope you're happy with yourself.
Well, the hotel won't let the Cody call through to get me. So the cell phone, for whatever reason, which has been working fine for a day and a half, suddenly decides not to work when I call you guys. And now I'm calling you on the hotel phone. So hopefully this works.
I think it's maybe because your current domicile is going to be a part of New California as the state splits into two different states. And maybe it's now a toll call, Tim, and you don't have long distance yet.
Well, is there panic amongst the organization about New California?
Is it good? I thought there were three states, because I know there's a sign on I-80 when I head toward Reno that says you're entering now the state of Jefferson. It's on the right-hand side as you go heading east there. So I think they want their own state up there, too. So it could be three Californias.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I know they were proposing six Californias, which never got it put on the ballot. But we'll make sure we give you a border crossing from New California to Old California. Tim Roy here on 95.7. The game. Can we now safely say that Steph Curry is completely rehabbed and healed from his myriad ankle issues this year?
Yeah, I think he's fine. What the Warriors are going through right now is just the bumps and bruises of an NBA season. Nothing out of the ordinary. Ankle sprains are part of life in the NBA. The Warriors have been reasonably healthy the last few years, so I think this is just their turn to kind of fight through it. And, you know, it's one of the, and again, we talk about this all the time, and it's one of those things where they can always err on the side of caution because, you know, their record is great. It's the best record in the league. They got the best road record, you know, you can remember, 20-3. So they have some cushion here that they can work with.
Tim, I don't know if you saw it last night, but there was a situation in the Oklahoma City Thunder game where Russell Westbrook was going up to the rack. It looked like he took a shot to the face, but on review, it was barely a grazing. He ends up arguing with the officials. He gets thrown out. Martin Luther King Day, there were technicals all over the place. Players getting ejected everywhere. The Rockets and Clippers almost got into some backroom melee. Does it feel as if there's more tension between players and officials than ever before? We see it with Draymond Green on a regular basis, and he's been quite outspoken about it. Or is this just something we're building up in our minds?
You know, I think part of it is we're paying attention to it more. And I think the fact that there is a little tension between the players and the officials this year, you know, that may be leading to this. And I think, and again, I go back to experience. I think that we lost a lot of guys who would take control of games and make sure that things weren't getting out of hand. And I think that's something that the referees have to get back to. They have to take some control of a game and keep the game from escalating. And I think we've had a series of moments where things have escalated and it's gotten out of hand. Though the Clipper Rocket thing, that's unbelievable. That's just crazy.
That's a little bizarre. And then last night you saw Aaron Aflalo lash out with a wild hook that was errant of his target. Tim, as far as the officials and the players and the broken relationship, here's my theory. Tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
I think it's two-pronged. One, instant replay has robbed officials of the opportunity to handle things on the floor, such as the Russell Westbrook play where he gets grazed in the face and loses the ball out of bounds. Pre-replay, you could just give the ball to Oklahoma City and you could tell him, yeah, Russ, you might have got nudged, but we're just going to give you the ball. Now with replay, that would be overturned. The second prong of it is all the microphones that we now have courtside capture every single sound on the court. And this also prevents referees from being able to go over to Draymond and say, geez, Draymond, I missed that one. I owe you one. Because if you say that and it's captured by a microphone, now all of a sudden we have a complete side story. What do you think of my theory?
I think you're on the right track, because remember now, they also get judged on every call. So the officials come out of every game, and every call they make is looked at and graded. So officials get graded on every call. Where in the past, if an official missed a call, you know, the ball would come down and all of a sudden, bang, you know, offensive foul. And everybody's going, where? Where's the offensive foul? Well, basically, he's kind of, you know, saying, okay, I made a mistake down at the other end. You guys shouldn't have had the ball. We're going to give them the ball back. You know, and it was a makeup call. And it, to me, that always kept things from getting out of hand because, you know, now they've kind of, you know, corrected the error, if you will, to a certain extent, as best as they could, and then move on. Or in the old days, there would be a play where a guy would go out of bounds, the ball's heading to it out of bounds, and the guy gets fouled, but his team's getting the ball anyway. So the referee says, you know, it's your ball. And instead of the, you know, instead of saying, okay, there's a foul on the play, you know, they say, no, you guys get the ball anyway, so go. And we don't have that anymore. And I think that means that every call has to be, you know, scrutinized and analyzed. And as you say, everything they say is scrutinized and analyzed now or can be heard in most cases. And so, they're a little more on edge as far as, you know, how to officiate the game. And so I think the league has some work to do in this category. And I think it's, you know, the one thing I know is that they're aware of it and they're going to try to fix this and try to get it repaired.
Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors with Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Tonight, the Dubs will go for their 14th consecutive road victory. It would tie a franchise record from 2 years ago. To us, it feels like this has become that source of motivation for them for games where they might not otherwise get that excited. I mean, let's be honest. When they've been to the mountaintop year after year, it's tough to get up for a game on a Tuesday in November against the Orlando Magic. Is this kind of a rallying cry for these guys this year? Are they taking particular pride in their performances on the road?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that they also know that, you know, the stories, you know, in the Chicago papers and on social media, you know, the Warriors are in town. And so they know the Bulls are going to be ready. And it's a great venue. It's one of the best buildings in the league, the United Center. And, they've got a great crowd here. There is always a sellout. And so, I think they'll be ready. But I think, yeah, there's a little bit of the black hat mentality, if you will, coming into a building. And, you know, I talked to Kevin Durant about that, about how satisfying it is on our weekly show, but to quiet the crowd on the road. And he says he loves doing that. He loves just making that shot that takes the crowd right out of the game. So, yeah, there is a little bit of that. And the Bulls are playing well. You know, they're 14-7 in their last 21 games. They've made 10 threes and 8 straight games. I mean, they got this kid Lowry Markkanen, the kid out of U of A, who's turning out to be a really nice player for them. So it's going to be fun tonight.
Tim Roy, Warriors play-by-play broadcaster, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. One of your colleagues, one of our good friends of the program, the station, Dan Ruzanowski, celebrating 2,000 games called. Put that in some perspective for our listeners. Just what an impressive milestone that is for Dan Ruzanowski.
I'm so happy for Dan. He's a great guy, and it's well-deserved of any praise that comes his way. It means that you are a grinder. It means that you get in there and you just do it, and you kind of lower your head and get through it. You fight through colds. You fight through fatigue. You fight through the travel and do it. Now, again, I'm making it sound like we do a heroic struggle here. We have great jobs. We know we have great jobs, but, you know, he's a pro. And that's the best compliment I can give him, is that he's a pro. He's really, really good at what he does. And the Bay Area is lucky to have him. And he's dedicated to that organization, and he's dedicated to the game of hockey. And I think I told you guys this before. He's one of my oldest friends in the business. In the early 1980s, right out of college, I was doing some Colgate hockey in the ECAC, and Danny was the voice of St. Lawrence University hockey. So he and I have known each other since then. And it's so great that we work together in the same conference, you know, in like 1983, and now we're back together in the same market, and we have been for years. It's really a great fun.
That's awesome. I didn't know the rivalry went that far back. You could say
the
your
rivalry. Listen to you, the rivalry.
Tim, you and I both know, myself as a former play-by-play broadcaster in Major League Soccer, you know that there's a certain amount of rivalry. If you and Dan were to meet up in an Anchorman-style brawl in the streets, you and R.C. Davis and your posse against Ruzanowski, Jamie Baker, Danny Miller, and the rest, Who wins that all-out grudge match in a street brawl with tridents and pitchforks?
You don't mess with R.C. Davis. You know, he's like the old wrestlers. They used to hide the stuff in the sock, right? And they come out with a metal object. That's R.C. Davis. You don't turn your back on R.C., put it that way.
Yeah, and I forgot about Jimmy Barnett, who is probably the toughest septuagenarian in the market, without a doubt. Tim Roy, thanks for joining us, Timmy. Have a good call tonight.
I apologize about the difficulties. I think next time on the road, I'll just answer your questions by Morse code.
Appreciate it.
That's good stuff, Tim. We appreciate it. Travel safe.
See it.
I love it. Ruzanowski at 2,000 games, Tim Roy, and then you slide your play-by-play career.
30 games, coach. Another 1,970, and I'll catch Ruzy.
Mount Bay good area God. Play-by-play more. Dibs, Ruz, Roy, and then it gets tough.
Don't forget
Kuiper, obviously Papa, maybe in the Reagan spot, Teddy ball game.
Maybe you throw Bill King in there. I don't know.
You're on there taking up a spot. You, Ruz, and Roy.
Me, Ruz, Roy, and yeah. Boy. One hit wonder more would be me, probably more accurately.
Mount Rushmore, I've always said, should just be one. Get rid of the other three presidents. Why are we honoring so many?
There's a P and A and another P and another A.
Oh, my God. But speaking of which, Ruz is going to join us in a little bit. Joe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
What's the network you wanted to start?
The Ref Network.
The Ref Network. This could be something on the Ref Network. People calling the play-by-play. You have a play-by-play and color guy for the play-by-play and color guy.
I would love that. And I think if you had, like, you know, kind of like the coaches' room when you watch the national championship game and you got the six coaches
yes.
sitting around, you would just be breaking down what the broadcaster said in each sentence. And, well, that wasn't right. Or, you know, he misidentified that player. Or if you had, like, metrics for play-by-play and color guys, and you could rate each statement and you could truly see who is good and who is not good.
So watch the game and critique Tony Romo with Dibs. Talk football with Lowe. The entire morning show will be there. Lots of people from the station. We haven't confirmed all of them, but it should be a good time. This event was on hiatus for a couple of years, but now it's back in business.
Yeah, super fun. Great chance to come on out to the Hooters and Campbell and watch the games and get to know your local 95.7 personalities.
Now we're excited. And obviously a lot of you are excited, but I'll tell you what, the NFL can't be that thrilled with the news they got recently that the NFL divisional round was down about 10% in terms of ratings from last year. 10%. The lowest divisional round ratings the NFL has experienced in 10 years. Why? You had three very competitive games, and in the one that wasn't competitive, you had Tom Brady and the Patriots, which, love them or hate them, you react to them. That's the beauty of the Patriots. You either love them or you hate them. Tennessee, a lot of people are indifferent to the Titans. Jacksonville, a lot of people are indifferent. Carolina, the Chicago Bears, the Arizona Cardinals. There's a lot of indifference with those teams. The beauty of the Patriots is you love them or you hate them, and as a result, you tune in, and yet somehow, some way, 10% were down in ratings.
And you look at four of the eight teams that were playing in that weekend, and it's Tennessee, Jacksonville, Minnesota, and New Orleans. Those are smaller markets, and those are teams without much in the way of compelling personalities. New Orleans has Drew Brees, but he's not a controversial figure. He's not a real public persona. He's not on a lot of commercials, and he's not out in front of a lot of things. You know him as the quarterback, and you know him maybe from his appearance on Oprah some 12 years ago where she tried to wipe his birthmark off his face thinking it was a smudge of dirt.
Oh, I got some lipstick on you.
Oh, let me get that for you, honey. No, it's permanent. Oh, mix in some show prep while you're back there creating this empire. But I digest. Point being, Joe, of the four games, I just ticked off the four teams that don't have much interest. And you have, like you say, Pittsburgh and New England, certainly. Atlanta's not a team that you're that compelled to want to check out. So that certainly is a part of why ratings are down.
Quarterback play's been a killer. Nobody's interested in Nick Foles. Nobody's interested in Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota. Fact. It's not me. It's fact. You're showing that with the ratings. You're not interested. right? You're not interested. People want to watch Brady because they either want to cheer for him or they want to boo him. That's very important because people tune in. You're in the job of getting people to react. And this year's divisional round, I'm telling you right now, the NFC Championship game, those ratings are going to be down too. How many people are thrilled to watch the Case Keenum-led Minnesota Vikings take on the Carson Wentz-led, the Nick Foles-led Philadelphia Eagles? It's a bummer. It's a total bummer that those are the quarterbacks. It's not going to get you to rally behind it. No Russell Wilson, no Aaron Rodgers, no Drew Brees, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Tom Brady. Or, I mean, there is Tom Brady, but, you know, not in the NFC Championship game. This is the situation we're dealing with, and I think that's part of the draw. 2 years ago, the ratings started dipping, and we talked about the election. We talked about the protest. We've talked about so many different elements that have contributed to this. One, I think that's been overlooked is the retirement of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was a huge draw because Peyton Manning was kind of this goofy, likable character. Whether or not you rooted for him, did anyone truly hate Peyton Manning? People hate Tom Brady. People hate Jay Cutler. I don't think people hate Peyton Manning. Even 2 years after he's retired, he's still a huge draw with Nationwide, with Papa John's. He's on every freaking commercial. The guy hasn't taken a snap in 2 years. He hasn't made a play in 3 years.
Yeah, and yet he still is. If you polled people about who is your most popular or who's the most recognizable football player, he still would get a ton of votes. And you're right, he hasn't played the entire season or two seasons now, and yet he still would be one of the more recognizable people. I think we're in a position where 5 years from now, there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off between the next era of real NFL stars. And let's be fair, most of the time in the NFL, the star that people recognize is the quarterback. And if you look across the league right now, that group of 20-somethings, late 20-somethings quarterbacks, who will be the next group to step up and take the mantle of popular superstars in the league, you don't necessarily have the greatest crop. You've got Russell Wilson, who I think people can gravitate to. He's a nice story. Cam Newton is somewhat of a controversial figure. You've got Jameis Winston, who is a controversial figure. Marcus Mariota, he's a guy you could root for, but he's not quite arrived.
You ever hear him talk? Does anyone know what Marcus Mariota sounds like?
No, pretty quiet kid. And if you look across at the even younger crop of guys, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Mitchell Trubisky, none of these guys really I could see stepping forward and becoming face of the franchise, face of the league type guys. So when Roethlisberger leaves and Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, all of the, quote, old guard, I don't think we have a group of guys stepping in ready to replace them.
Very happy to pivot right now to the voice of the San Jose Sharks, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Rusinowski, joining Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Dan, I want to start with what a special evening it must have been last night. Mikel Boddicker records his fifth goal of the season. The Sharks win 3-2 in a shootout. It must have meant the world to you to see Boddicker get that fifth goal.
Well, it was great, and what a special night it was. I still can't believe that it's 2,000 games in the NHL for me, but that's what we celebrated last night. And nice that the boys came up with the 2 points, too. It really was an amazing evening.
Ruse, I was screwing with you with Boddicker's goal. We know it was about 2,000 games last night. Congratulations. How's it feel?
Well, it's fantastic. Like I said, Boddicker could have scored a hat trick. It wouldn't have mattered, although that would have made somebody $100,000 richer what we're doing on the radio this year. But let me tell you that it really was special. The reactions that I got from everybody, everybody within the Sharks organization, broadcasters around the league, people like yourselves, really a very special evening.
2,000 games for Dan Rusinowski behind the mic with the San Jose Sharks. I know it's tough to pick out which your favorite moments were looking back. It's like your kids in many ways, I'm sure. All the games, you don't want to pick one favorite. But is there a moment when you look back at the 2000 and think that's a moment when you really felt like you had arrived or you felt like this is really the most special place for you?
Well, it all began really with the first game in Sharks history back in October of 1991. A lot of people forget that very first game that this team ever played was not broadcast on television in the Bay Area. It was radio only, which was amazing in and of itself. But Dennis Hull did the game with me as my color commentator. I'll never forget that. And a kid from California named Craig Cox scored the very first goal in the history of the franchise, which I thought was pretty apropos, although awfully rare for back in 1991. Now we've got more kids playing hockey from the Golden State to all through the state of California, northern and southern. And, you know, that's where it all began. But, you know, if you have to really add up all of them, I can't get beyond that that game against the St. Louis Blues in 2016 when the Sharks went over the top and went to the Stanley Cup final for the first time. Sure, there were a couple of wins to call in the Stanley Cup final, and those were great. But I'll just never forget the tears in the eyes of so many Sharks fans after that game against the Blues that put the Sharks in the final. And to me, that was a special moment.
The great Dan Rusinowski with Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. I'd imagine that when you hit a milestone like 2,000 games, as you've discussed, so many people are going to ask you what's the biggest moment, what's the most memorable moment. What's a moment that might fly underneath the radar? It's just some random game, some season where something happened that you weren't expecting, whether it was on the road or home. Does anything like that stand out for you?
Well, sure, there are a whole bunch of things like that. I can tell you that the very first time that the Sharks came back to SAP Center, it was called San Jose Arena back in those days, after they beat the Red Wings in the playoffs in that first playoff year in 94, people forget that they won the game on the road in Detroit, and then their very next two games in round two were on the road in Toronto. So this is game three of round two, and it was the first time that Sharks fans had really gotten together to kind of celebrate what had just happened, the amazing events that had occurred in that playoff run. And I'll never forget the sound of that building, of just how loud it was when the guys came onto the ice, how much appreciation was shown for them. And, you know, another moment like that that comes up, too, was a playoff game against Edmonton back in 2006 when the Sharks were down 5-on-3. And two of the three skaters they had on the ice broke their sticks and they got the puck out of the zone. I'll never forget that either.
So many memories over 2,000 games. Dan Rusinowski here on 95.7 The Game. It's a tough thing to revisit, but 2000, you were involved in that car accident that left you in critical condition and you missed, I believe, the majority, if not the entire season. What was that like for you when you were able to fight through all that adversity and come back to the mic and do the thing that you love so much?
Well, it wasn't a full season. I missed 27 games total.
That's all you missed, Dan, was 27? That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm a hockey broadcaster. We come up quickly. You know, we get over. But I can tell you that it was very serious for a while. And without my wife, Karen, and all my friends and all the Sharks fans that were so encouraging, I might not have gotten through that with the great medical staff that took care of me. But I tell you what, when I went through all of that, the response from the people, from the fans, really made me realize that San Jose and the Bay Area really was my home, and these were my friends, and this is what I was supposed to be doing. And to me, that was the most incredible part of it. You know, everybody's a little bit afraid of death, but I think that in a strange way, that experience made me a little less afraid of it because of what I went through and what I remember from it. And I got a lot of peace from it in that way and on a personal level. But beyond that, just the reaction from the fans was really incredible. I mean, I remember going back to a game against Vancouver in December of that year. I hadn't started broadcasting yet. And the fans really gave me a wonderful response at that game. And ever since then, and it's just been wonderful ever since.
Maybe it was the enduring of Roxy Bernstein that made it feel like more than 27 games, Dan.
Well, that could be, although he was part of a flight that I didn't have to be on, which was great. That was when I think a bird or something blew out the hydraulic system of the plane on takeoff in Dallas. They take off at Love Field and they land at Dallas-Fort Worth, just a couple of miles away. And the pilot actually had to use the physical guy wires to land the plane. Wow. I'm glad I wasn't on that one.
Yeah, it's a good miss by you, Rusi. It's called the Bernstein curse, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you.
He's a piece of work.
I love him.
He filled in for a lot of games for me, and there were a handful of guys that did. I think Roxy, I'm sure, did the most of them.
Dan Rusinowski with Joe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Rus, one of the great mysteries this season in the NHL is the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights, in their first ever season in the league, are smoking people. They're one of the best teams in all the NHL. And not only that, they have this unbelievable home ice advantage. Do you think it's a little something to do with, say, the Roxy flu, like up in Vancouver? Are teams having a little bit too much fun on their first road trip to Vegas?
So you've been to the Roxy in Vancouver, have you?
No, but I've read about it in a great ESPN article, and I've always wanted to go there. It's something that fascinates me.
Yeah, I think you'd be in the Hall of Fame if you ended up there, Dibs, no doubt about it. But I got to tell you that it's not just that. It's the way that the team was built. And I think that, you know, there aren't any real stars on the team, but there are a lot of really solid players. And that's what $500 million buys you. I mean, I was always comparing the expansion draft that the Sharks had compared to the one that the Vegas Golden Knights had. And I'm thinking, wow, I guess the NHL has learned a lot about bringing new teams into the league since then. But because back in the old days, they didn't do too many favors to the new clubs coming in. Although the Sharks did get Doug Wilson in a trade and they did get Kelly Kissio and a few other really solid players and great human beings. But it's a different level when you're losing a 30-goal scorer like Jonathan Marchessault and going over to Vegas to join that team. And, hey, kudos to George McPhee, the GM there, and to the coach Gerard Gallant for getting these role players to play into his system. It just goes to show you that that's where the NHL is and how close the league is when you get solid NHL players put into a team. The enthusiasm and really the way they brought that city together, I think, has been really special to see. And we'll see how it goes in the second half of the year. You never know. But, boy, they're off to a great start.
Ruse, before we let you go, we wanted to play a clip from earlier in the show today. We had Tim Roy from the Golden State Warriors on. We asked him about Dan Rusinowski, 2,000 games. Here's what he had to say.
I'm so happy for Dan. He's a great guy, and it's well-deserved of any praise that comes his way. He's one of my oldest friends in the business. In the early 1980s, right out of college, I was doing some Colgate hockey in the ECAC, and Danny was the voice of St. Lawrence University hockey. So he and I have known each other since then, and it's so great that we worked together in the same conference, you know, in like 1983, and now we're back together in the same market, and we have been for years. It's really a great fun.
Tim Roy Ruse. I didn't realize you guys went so far back.
Yeah, he's been a really good friend for a long time. I remember those years on the buses driving down to Hamilton, New York, and commiserating with Tim, and a friendship began, and we sort of kept bumping into each other over the years, and wasn't it neat when he moved from Sacramento to the Golden State Warriors, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And, you know, the Sharks and the Warriors get along quite well anyway, but for me, it's just special that a good friend like that for so long is in the same business, and we're in the same city with some pretty good hockey and basketball teams.
Follow him on Twitter at Dan Rusinowski. He's the voice of your San Jose Sharks, fresh off his 2,000th career game. Dan Rusinowski with Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Ruse, it's always a pleasure. Congratulations again on 2,000. Here's to 2,000 more.
Dibs, Joe, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Dan Rusinowski, ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 games.
It's impressive. I mean, really, when you think about 82 in a season, that's more than 20 years. It's closer to 25 years. And the guy was the original voice, and he mentioned it, first game ever not broadcast on local TV, which tells you 1991, just where hockey was priority-wise in the Bay Area in our country, really.
Do we sound that much alike?
A little bit. I've actually heard that from a couple different people. I don't think so, but some people have actually, and we've had many guests now say Dibs or Joe or Joe or Dibs.
Do I sound like an old redhead?
Yes. Do I sound like a young, angry East Coast whippersnapper? Yes. There you have it.
I mean, imagine how many hotel rooms Ruse has been in, how many flights he's taken, how many buildings he's been in to call a hockey game.
How many icing calls? How many delayed offsides, you know? How many empty netters? How many times through the five hole?
How would Ruse handle Tony Romo doing hockey color commentary?
He would run him out without a doubt. There'd be no stepping on Rusinowski. Well, here's Michael Bodker. He's open. He's open, Ruse. Thornton's open.
He scores.
Was that Romo? Or Guru? Yeah, I think Tony Romo, he's doing just fine. He'll look back at this first year of football and hopefully make the right adjustments.
Do we have the Brent Musburger audio by any chance when he was on VSiN and he was giving Tony his advice? If we could look that up. He's like, stops his radio show. Tony, listen to me. It's because this is right at the moment where everybody was overwhelmed with the fascination. Wasn't Romo's first game the Raider Titan game?
Yes.
Because that was him and Nance, right?
And I was far ahead of Brent Musburger in my accurate criticism of Tony Romo. Because when something happens, Joe, and there's broadcasters, I actually listen to what the broadcasters are saying. I don't just go all goo goo eyes over, oh, Tony's so good looking. He's so funny. Oh, he called that play right. Can you believe it? He called the slant. What about the other nine that he got wrong, people?
From the 925 and the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Peer into your future, Joe. In 20 years, you'll be on the other side of the table making ginger jokes.
Wow. That would be a sad statement for your career. Sad statement. And you're only 12 years younger than me, so let's
I was going to say 20 years.
Yeah, you're only about 12 years away from being old and angry like I am.
Here's Brett Musburger. Play that.
Listen to him, okay? Tony, get off it, okay? First of all, you're intruding on your play-by-play man, Jim Nance, who's just trying to give us we like to watch the game, okay? And you're not going to be here's a memo to all of you people who, oh, this is great. Uh-uh. It's not going to happen. The further, the more years you spend away from the league, you're going to know less and less about the personnel that's out on the field. So I'm blowing a stop the hype. Okay, right now.
Wow. Musburger comes out and just salts. That's got to put Musburger in like position one on the Mount Broadcaster more with you.
He's always been up there.
To come right out on day one and just be like, this is not how it's
going to
be.
He's always been high on my list going back to my youth when he was calling all the big games. And also on that list, and I didn't get a chance to say it Monday because I was off, but Keith Jackson, rest in peace. I mean, one of the best to ever do it. The best to ever call college football, or really college sports, period. When you're the voice of a sport, you live on well beyond your years. But RIP to Keith Jackson.
The voice of a sport, some say the voice of the Rose Bowl, the voice of autumn, Keith Jackson.
The voice of a day, Saturday.
Yeah. The voice of Saturday. Imagine that. Like, I would be the voice of Tuesday. Nobody likes Tuesday.
And I think he might even be on Mount Jackson more, which is among the most elite mounts in American history. When you think about all the Jacksons.
It's a lot of good Jacksons.
So we'll just go ahead and end it with Mount Jackson more.
Tomorrow we reveal the...
we'll forget Steiny and the Guru are coming up next. Tim Bontemps at 11 a.m. Brian Sabian at 11:30. For Anna, for Dibs, I'm Joe. Lowe's back in the saddle with us tomorrow at 6 a.m. Won't you join us right here on 95.7 The Game?
You'd be in the Hall of Fame if you ended up there, Dibs. No doubt about it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.